Here you can see that the Taoists were skeptical of any attempt to express ultimate reality in names. And this skepticism fits really well with Buddhist attitudes toward ultimate reality, whether it's in the form of no self or in the form of emptiness. What the Buddhists are saying is that there is no permanent identity in anything that you can pin a name on and expect to pin down. So the Taoist emphasis on the nameless, the inexpressibility of ultimate reality, fit beautifully with this aspect of Buddhism. But you can also see that the Taoists like to think of the Tao as the ultimate source of things out of which everything comes. This is odd from a Buddhist perspective. You remember the story of Malunkyaputta and the arrow, when Malunkyaputta asked the Buddha to explain where the world came from. And the Buddha refused to get into any kind of a discussion about the origin of things. He was much more concerned, as Buddhism is, with analyzing the suffering we experience right now and finding some way to get rid of it. So the Taoist emphasis on seeing the Tao as the source had a subtle effect on Buddhism. It changed a bit the way it was understood and expressed in a Chinese environment. Now, pushing further into the text, when Taoists talk about the Tao, they also share a Buddhist reverence for simplicity and especially for images of negation and images of non-being. Let me read a couple of passages that express this idea as well. Chapter 4, the Tao is empty like a bowl. It is empty like a bowl. It may be used, but its capacity is never exhausted. It's bottomless, perhaps the ancestor of things. It blunts its sharpness, it unties tangles, it softens its light. It becomes one with the dusty world. Now, these first two lines, just to sense the subtlety of this interaction that's going on here, let me read them again. The Tao is empty like a bowl. It may be used, but its capacity is never exhausted. It's a classic statement about the Tao. And Nagarjuna once said, everything is possible for someone for whom emptiness is possible. Nothing is possible for someone for whom emptiness is not possible. Emptiness, possibility. Emptiness, inexhaustible possibility. It's present in both passages. You can see the buzz that these passages set up as you put them side by side, but you can also sense that the idiom is a little different. The worldview that produces these two statements, they have different implications, different suggestions. So Taoism and Buddhism have a natural kinship, but it also will be deeply transformative of Buddhism to translate it into this Taoist form. Another chapter in the Tao Te Ching that works in a creative way with the image of non-being is chapter 11. 30 spokes are united around the hub to make it a wheel, but it is on its non-being that the utility of the carriage depends. Clay is molded to form a utensil, but it is on its non-being that the utility of the utensil depends. Doors and windows are cut out to make a room, but it is on its non-being that the utility of the room depends. Therefore, turn being to advantage and turn non-being into utility. Classic Taoist statement about the importance of the empty space. The empty space in a room, the empty space in a spoon, or the still empty space at the center of a revolving wheel. Again, you can see very suggestive ways for Buddhism to translate itself into Chinese vocabulary. You can imagine, I suspect, that Buddhist eyes simply lit up when they heard this passage and this positive reference to the idea of non-being. Now, the Taoist tradition also had a very strong tradition of sagehood, like the tradition of sainthood or monastic practice in the Buddhist tradition in India. I'll read you a couple examples of that.